you're not in Acts 17, turn to Acts 17. It might be an interesting passage as we look at the resurrection. But the resurrection changes everything. Our God is alive, alive forever. I spoke a few weeks ago of circumstantial evidence, historical evidence, that we cannot deny that Jesus has risen from the dead. The testimonies of his disciples, the story of women going to the tomb, which was unheard of at that day, that he showed his disciples his scars, the wound on his side, that over 500 people gathered with him alive again, were witnesses of a resurrected Jesus. And I think most powerfully that the Church of Jesus Christ, Christians, we continue to spread and grow and for many even die for the truth that Jesus has come, has died for our sins, and has risen again. The resurrection changes everything. We're just going to look at a few verses here in Acts 17, and I have three quick points. Verses 29 through 34 in Acts 17, this is what it reads. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. We have a message, we have a hope, and we have a fellowship, a community. And the message, the hope, and this fellowship, this family that we are brought into, it all hinges on the resurrection. And I have a really, I don't know, it's kind of a pithy illustration, but it's all that could come to mind as I thought about the power of resurrection. And it doesn't even compare to the power of Christ and his resurrection. But we have this little mini rose plant in our backyard that me and my wife picked up in Seattle. It probably was a $6, you know, those mini roses that you can pick up at any garden center now. Thought it was pretty cool, you know, these small roses. They still blossom. They look like roses. They smell like roses, but they're half the size and like 1/4 of the price, which is great. But we got these up in Seattle, so that would have been 5 or 6 years ago. And I don't know, maybe that Seattle mist or the smog from the city gave it what it needed, but it has thrived. We brought it with us down here to Pleasant Hill, still alive. I don't know, I don't actually remember how we packaged it up to make sure it didn't get crushed. We planted it here in Pleasant Hill, put our roots down, wondering, okay, I don't know, we're going to see. And year after year, snow, rain, Pleasant Hill kind of weather, hot, even hot summers we've been having, this little rose bush is continuing to go, still blossoming every single year. I kind of joke with Sarah, I think this is a picture of what God's doing through our marriage. It's still there, still hardy, this tiny bud, maybe it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. But God's doing something with this little rose bush that won't die. And what's funny is every other plant that we brought into our house has died. I don't know what it is. Maybe we kept it outside and we didn't bring it into the house, and that's why this one has been preserved. But I bought many roses after this red one. I bought a yellow one, a white one, thinking, oh, well, put some more color into our yard. They've died. I can't figure this out. This one little red rose bush. It keeps going and going. Just a little example. Not a great illustration, but that's the truth of the resurrection. We think that life might have us done for, discouraged, down and out. There's a season for everything. But amazingly, this little rose bush keeps coming up year after year, saying, we're not done yet. And the truth of the resurrection is, it's a reality that we need to be reminded of every day and every week and every year, not just on Easter morning, but the fact that in the thick of things or in the blessings, our Lord is alive. Death could not hold him down. The power of the resurrection reminds us that God is all-powerful. No one can snuff out the power of the resurrection. So we have a message to give others. And as we read there in Acts, it begins actually with a command to all people to repent. Really? Just tell me the good stuff. The good news is that Jesus has come, died on the cross for your sin, offers all of us forgiveness of sin, past, present, future. Life with Jesus for eternity, starting now. We're not yet fully glorified. We will be one day. That is the good news, that we don't have to be stuck in our sin, stuck in hopelessness or doubt or confusion. But there's this one word in here. God commands all to repent. And I explained this a little bit even last week, but it's this idea of to change your mind about something. You see it this way, and God calls you to a 180. To have believed in God and His Savior as irrelevant, an old story. I can do this on my own. Repentance means to think now, I can't do this on my own. I can't figure out life by myself. What do I do if I'm hopeless? Or what do I do if something grand was right before me, it was in my grasp, and all of a sudden I lost it? And I put all my hope in that. What happens if it disappears? To change our thinking, to understand that there is one hope that will never go away. There is one God who has created everything, is over everything, sustains everything. He doesn't need our help, but He asks us to come join and be a part of what He is doing, to come into fellowship with Him. This God is the one we need to put our thoughts to, the one who made us, the one who knows everything about us, the one who knows our deepest longings. We have a message to give because of the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. And even as I shared earlier, it reminds us that the resurrection means the power of sin and death has been removed for those of us in Jesus Christ. That sin doesn't have to enslave us and hold us and grip us tightly. Is that someone here this morning in this room that you don't know how to shake free? You've been trying and trying by your own strength and your own power. God says, I have died for that sin, past, present, and future. But he also took care of death. For those of us in Christ, we have a message that we don't have to fear the end. We don't have to fear our last breath. We don't have to fear any final day. To be absent in the body, as the Apostle Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. We have a message to give to others. Christ is risen. He is alive forevermore. And we call them to repent. We call all people to change our thinking. Really, in many ways, it's calling everyone to humble yourself. Calling me to say, I can't do this on my own. I need a Savior. And that Savior is powerful, risen again. The resurrection also tells us that we have a hope. Look in verse 31. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all. God gives assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The resurrection is our assurance. Assurance for what? Well, first off, let's just start off maybe big picture. That everything God says is going to happen. All of his promises, all of his judgments, all of his word is true. Why? He has given us assurance by raising him from the dead. The resurrection assures us that what God has promised will come to pass. His truth is true. His judgments are right. His grace is available. He is merciful. He is kind. He is perfect love. Because Jesus has risen from the grave, what God has said, all of it is true. Because even in the Old Testament, such as Psalm 22, it shares that Sheol will not keep the Savior. Death will not hold him. The Savior cannot die. King David wrote that hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, even before the Messiah hung on the cross. And then the prophets spoke of a God who would come in the end times and make everything broken perfect again. And he spoke of a Messiah that would come as a baby into a town called Bethlehem. And that's exactly what happened. But all of God's promises hinge on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The promises the prophets made, the promises that the Messiah would go to the cross. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says that if Christ had not been raised, our faith would be futile. It wouldn't matter if the prophets prophesied of a coming day of perfection when all sin would be taken care of and Jesus would come and take his church to be with him. It wouldn't matter a prophecy of a baby coming to save people as Messiah. It wouldn't matter if Christ had not risen from the dead, if he was still in a tomb somewhere with his name on it. He would have just been another good teacher with good truths, but misleading everybody. Because he said, I am the life. If you come to me, you will have life abundantly. How could he be life if he is in a grave? I am the way of salvation, the truth and the life. How could he be the way of salvation if he's still in the grave? The Apostle Paul says, we would be most pitied if Christ had not risen from the dead. But he is alive. Jesus is true life, true resurrection. All that he says is true. Christ's resurrection also means that God is approved. Not only are all his promises true, but God is approved. God put his seal and his stamp of approval on Jesus' death as being the perfect payment for our sins, the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," it was. And God said, I approve of what my son has done. The work has been accomplished. Death and sin have been taken care of by the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so God raised him from the dead. In many ways, this was God saying, it is now time for me to exalt Jesus once again. Philippians 2, 8 through 11, a beautiful passage. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 speaks of Jesus humbling himself, coming to earth, serving us, going to the cross. And God says, he raised him from the dead, exalted him to the right hand of the Father, in which every knee will bow before him. God approved of what Jesus has done, and he sealed it by the resurrection. Christ's work was final, finished, and God brought him back to life to never die again. Christ's resurrection means our faith is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14 also says, our preaching is not in vain. When we go out to declare that he is risen, that he is Savior, you can be assured because of the resurrection that that is not in vain. You can trust that Jesus is alive and Savior because of the resurrection. And when I preach his word, I can trust and believe that it is true because Jesus has resurrected. Jesus and his resurrection means our sins are forgiven. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Our faith is not in vain. Our sins are forgiven. Romans 6:6 says, because he has been raised, sin no longer has the power over us that it once had to enslave us. Romans 6:6. And I love this. There's so much more. I could say so many more things of the reality of the resurrection. But we can have hope because Christ's resurrection means our resurrection. Romans 8:11, as we've even said earlier today, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you who have trusted in Jesus Christ. If you have the Spirit of God in you because of your trust in Jesus, that is the same Spirit that powerfully rose Jesus Christ from the dead and powerfully did the works that Jesus did on earth. The same spirit he had is the spirit we have that gives us assurance and hope that there is life forevermore for those of us who are in Jesus Christ. So the question is, where does your hope rest? What are you hoping in today? Maybe a good nap? Maybe it's bigger than that, though. Is it a new career? Is it the career you're on or the career you're pursuing? Is it the work that you're doing? Is that your hope? That you will hope to just keep climbing up and up in your work? Is your hope in just perseverance? I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to be a man of my word, but it's kind of in self. I got to be who I got to be. I got to be it all. Will you find that you will disappoint yourself? Is your hope in money or in a relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Where is your hope? The question we have to ask is, will it provide our happiness? Will it give us what it promises? I know for myself, chasing after things that I thought would promise me happiness and joy, they didn't. They actually just produced guilt and sorrow and shame. That's why Christ says, by faith, we believe in the Son of God. The Word of God says it begins by faith, by believing, by saying, you know what, this looks good over here to my eyes or to my flesh, but in the end, I know where it's leading. And Christ says, take a hold of me. I've always satisfied. I've always brought joy. I've always been gracious and merciful. I am perfect love. The Word of God says, in the Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. We have to take hold of that and believe that by faith, that He is better than everything else and that He will deliver. These other things, will they hold out on their promises? Will they give us what we want? Will they give us happiness? Jesus Christ is the one we hope for. We can hope for Him because He is alive. He has risen from the dead. We have a message to give, to call people to repent, to pray that God would open eyes to see that Jesus is worth it all. We have a hope to declare for ourselves. We have hope that we will one day also be with Him. The one who raises Jesus Christ is the same one who will raise us one day. And we have a fellowship. Look at these last few verses. Now when some heard of the resurrection of the dead, that Christ was alive, some mocked. Others said, we will hear you again about this. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. This morning, as you hear of the resurrection from the dead, as you hear of Christ being alive forevermore, could you be one who just inside kind of laughs or says, what's that to me? That's great words, Paul, but I'm doing okay. In our hearts, we're mocking the one who created us, who called us to be in relationship with Jesus, to brush it off, to laugh it off, as these people in Scripture were doing. They just mocked. I don't need that. Someone who rose from the dead? That is silly talk. The God who made us, who created us, who gives us life and breath, who gives us all things. He says, don't mock. Come to your Creator. Maybe there's some of you in this room who say like these, well, we will hear you again about this. Kind of this plan of, well, maybe next week. Let me think about it. Let me go home, think about it. I'll see you next week. The Apostle Paul says a few times in Scripture, don't say next week. Don't say, well, let me think about it some more. Today is a day of salvation. Don't make an excuse. Don't brush it off. Don't laugh at it. Don't say, well, I'll hear about it another time. Thanks for talking. Thanks for sharing about Jesus Christ. I'm glad that you believe that, but I'll go home and I'll think about it. Some of these men, they wanted to hear again. Well, we'll hear again. We'll see you next week. But maybe that's you. You've heard for the first time that there's a God who's made you. And even this morning, you're thinking about Jesus Christ and what he means. I would invite you, come again. Come to our leaders, come to me, come to someone here in the church and talk and say, ask questions. Because right now, what you're hearing is the most important message that God has given us. That Jesus is Savior of the world, risen again. The beautiful thing is some also joined the Apostle Paul. As it says, that word means to come so tightly together, to be knit together like family. And if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you understand that there is a bond beyond family bond, beyond a community bond, beyond liking the same thing kind of a bond. There is a spiritual bond that goes on when we have trusted in Jesus, one believer to another. There is a joining together. This word actually in many ways is a picture of marriage. That close-knit joining together. That's what the Spirit of God does to the family of God. We might have different gifts. We might look at things differently, have different opinions, have different sports teams. I know there's Oregon State rivals in this room. But there is a bond beyond all of that. Some joined the Apostle Paul. Because what the Spirit of God does is it produces unity in the church. The Spirit of God brings those who would be separated normally together with one God, one hope, one Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:32, thousands came to know Jesus Christ as Peter stood and proclaimed of Jesus that he was risen again. The beginning of Acts starts with this. It brought thousands into the church, a unified group of people now going in the same direction. And if you've been with us in the book of Acts or you haven't, you will see in that book how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, always unifies us and brings us together in one direction. 1 Corinthians 15, again, right in the beginning there, verses 1 through 4, speak of, we preach of first importance that Jesus Christ was buried, that he died, but he's risen again. He went to the cross, he went to the grave, but the tomb is empty. Because of the resurrection, we have a message, we have a hope. and we have a new family, the family of God. For those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, I pray you understand and see that bond of unity that comes through the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to believe in a Savior who is not in the grave, who is not just another name on a list of good teachers and those who have proclaimed a way. He is the only one that has risen again, who has beaten the grave and declares victory over sin and over Satan, and who graciously calls all of us to come to Him to find hope and joy and reconciliation with your Creator. Could that be for you today? To come back to Jesus Christ, or to turn to Jesus for the first time and say, I believe that I am a sinner and I cannot do this on my own, and I have broken the laws of a holy God, and I need a Savior to cleanse me of my sins. If you trust in Him today, I want you to know as well, Scripture says there's not just forgiveness of sins, but you are declared righteous. God sees you through His Son, and He sees perfect righteousness. Forgiven from sins past, present, and future. That is the hope of a resurrected Lord. So may we go out today with this message that Jesus is risen indeed. May we believe as some believe the Apostle Paul and joined him. And maybe there's someone here today who says, I need to come and hear this again. We do not want to turn you away. Be a part of this fellowship. Come and hear of Jesus Christ. Speak with someone here who has trusted in Jesus. He is real, and He is risen again. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this good news of the resurrection. You are alive forevermore. You went back into glory, seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, as we read in Acts 17, there is a day when Jesus will come back at the end of everything, and He will be actually the judge. Lord, may we turn and repent and change our thinking and believe in Jesus Christ before that day comes. May we be one who trusts in Jesus as Savior so that we don't see Him come back as our judge. Lord, may we be one who joins into what You have in store for us. We don't laugh at it. We don't ignore it. And Lord, maybe we don't even wait for it for another time. We trust in it today. Lord, if there is anyone here, even this morning, who says, I need to turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior, I need to confess that I am a sinner, may they come and even talk to me, or talk to their friend, or talk to their parent, or talk to their church member. Lord, may they act upon it even today. Lord, we praise You. You are alive forevermore. You are coming again. We declare and celebrate this good news that death could not hold You and sin is not powerful enough and Satan will be vanquished. We thank You for those great things that You accomplished because You are risen and risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.